Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can find us and follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. Here we are again. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
And back from on location in England is Alex. Welcome back, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
And a happy new year to you.
And to you.
All right. Well, let's get started with what was the big story this weekend, which, of course, was the wild card round of the NFL, starting with Saturday's you can call it an early game, even though it was a 4:30 start.
Demolition of the Texans.
And right off the bat, not 106 yard touch kickoff return by Nile Davis, and that set the tone. That quieted the crowd real quick. Yeah, that was a big. That was big.
If there's one way to start the game, that's the one you.
And it's that
that's
crowd.
That's the most exciting play in football.
It was almost the record of 108 by Jacoby Jones.
But so many go out of the end zone that there's no opportunity. So
right.
This was great.
But and it wasn't even like a mighty, like 20 yards in out of the end zone. Everybody was gone. Mm. Like he had one big lane and then he was off. And then he could have slowed down if he wanted, but he didn't. But that crowd was rowdy. And then all of a sudden, hush, silent. Like there was nothing. Mm. And I mean, look, the Texans don't have a quarterback. We knew their offense was not going to do well. And that Chiefs offense is pretty good, too. And their Chief defense is pretty good as well. But that's why they won 11 straight. Now 11 straight. Just big all around. But how about J.J. Watt doing the Wildcat? What'd you think about that? Did you see that play?
Yeah, I did.
That was it's pretty crazy. And they brought in Vince Wilfork. Did you see that play?
Yeah, I just... Not at that time.
Yeah,
it could totally work. He's versatile enough to...
Right.
Do anything. So,
I guess you want to say that was a grasp to try to get the crowd back into it, but by that time, like, no, it was gone. And especially when he got stuffed. But they brought in Vince Wilfork as an extra blocker. I mean, the setup, but it just didn't work. And then, lo and behold, an interception. So no touchdown, no points, no nothing. And that's how it pretty much was. So,
do you think this is going to be a wake up call for Houston, or do you reckon? I'm confidently predicting they're going to draft another defensive player like round one.
They might.
They got to replace Clowney.
Yeah,
that
Clowney.
That was a pregame story.
Clowney, who begged to be active for the game, was told no, and he left. Now, according to the Texans themselves, they say that if a player is not if not active,
yes,
then they may leave. And he said he had a family matter to attend to, whatever that might be. But it's not as if he said, I'm not playing, I'm out of here.
Is that like, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out?
Or? It might be. Well, look, if just for a second, if you're the Texans, even though you have a high pick in the first round, you have a choice. You can either go defensive side of the ball to replace Clowney, or you need another running back because Arian Foster's not going to last much longer. Because you're not going to draft a quarterback because that's not going to take enough time.
Don't rate Alfred Blue? Your boy Blue?
My boy Blue. He's okay, but he hasn't, you know, obviously there wasn't enough confidence in him to go for a goal line play with him, even though he just broke off like a 30, 40 yard run.
He's still getting like 99 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Especially for a game they were so far behind. Like
they were. Well, I mean, you're going to give up on the running game, but when you're at the goal line and Blue just breaks off big runs, and you're like, let's take him out.
Yeah.
But look.
Is that a coaching issue or is that anything to say on Blue?
Well, but they weren't always high on Blue. I mean, that's why, you know, he had to split time with Chris Polk, and which killed my fantasy stuff, but that's beside the point. But Arian Foster, he's all world when he's healthy, but he's got microfractures and this and that. If anything, you know, you might want to start looking at that Derrick Henry, because he's not going to go early, or not necessarily
right at
the end. But
without a quarterback, none of that matters.
Right, so then the talk is, you know, do you go for somebody like RG3? I mean, that's a story for another time, but why is everybody talking about the Cowboys? There's another team in Texas that'd be more than happy to take at least one, definitely one. I don't know about Manziel, but Griffin. Hey, Griffin, you might, but because it's got to be.
He's too reckless with his body, with the ball.
Is that better than Brandon Wheaton as your third string? T.J. Yates?
Oh, a third string quarterback.
Well, man, that's totally different. But anywhere on that depth chart where we got to bring him in to at least try. Maybe something. Oh, pretty good. Let's sign him. As opposed to, Hoyer.
What's the Jets prove? Like, sometimes the journeyman does good.
Yes, I know, but that was. How long has Hoyer been on the team? Like, true. Fitzpatrick did well in his first year. I'm not saying he's going to be good for the rest of the
time. The spotlight. He wilts.
Yeah, it's true. But enough about that sad story. Then, of course, let's get to the Saturday night game, which was Bengals-Steelers. Steelers in a rainy, rainy game jump out to a 15-0 lead.
Right.
And then the fourth quarter happened, and they were able to score 16 unanswered points in the in the fourth quarter. A.J. McCarron doing his best to keep the team afloat, and then, I mean, where do you want to start? You want to go
with
from
the fumble?
Well, I think we have to start before then. We have to start with Bernard, the hit on Bernard.
That's the fumble.
Well, that was the first fumble. Yes, that was the fumble. Giovanni Bernard gets hit in the chest. I'm going to say clips his face mask, whatever, by Schaefer. I forget how to pronounce his name. Crown of the helmet. They don't call it, and all the referees and every who's it? Mike, not Mike Pereira. Mike Carey, the old. Referee, he was in the booth. He was in the booth. He was talking, well, that's a defensive. He's not a defenseless receiver because he's a running back and he had time to turn this way, but he led with the helmet.
No, I understand that, but they're allowing running backs to do that.
Yeah.
Well, they have to by nature.
You've seen it called offensive using the crown of the helmet. It doesn't get called often, but I think running back has to.
What else do you have?
Right, but they pretty much said you can't do that. Like no more dropping. Neither of you can drop your helmet. Like that's how they said, because they want the more face up tackling. But what really I think also set it off. Well, I started off beginning because prior to the game there were like basically death threats on Twitter from players on each side.
Right,
and the referees are standing at the 50-yard line, basically in a line, like no, you can't go over there.
Yeah,
and then Mike Munchak. Reggie Nelson? He grabs his arm and just dreads and pulls him, gets a penalty.
Right.
And I mean, this is a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game since 1990. They're going on nine.
But your hair is part of your uniform.
It is, but he still grabbed him and pulled him. Well, even if it wasn't his hair, he still pulled his arm. Like, get out of here.
Right, right.
Mm. So, in any case, the hit on Gio, which should have been called a penalty, was not, which of course was a fumble. Steelers got the ball back. But then. The next event that happened was Roethlisberger getting sacked, and what apparently is a separated shoulder and torn ligaments in his arm,
right,
and kept him out of the game for a while, and then
if it's those injuries, he's not coming back.
Yeah,
maybe exaggerate.
Yeah,
a little bit.
He might have, but well, he came back later in the game.
Yeah,
but so Landry Jones comes in, throws an interception. To Vontaze Burfict, who also knocked out Roethlisberger. And then on the very next play, Jeremy Hill runs the ball and fumbles the ball.
And they don't go down. I mean, what are you fighting for?
Well,
you don't see the bigger picture.
Well, first of all, Bernard is more has better ball security than Hill. So the fact that they lost Bernard hurt in that instance. Now, you can also say, I mean, after Hill scored that touchdown to... make it 15-7. He spiked that ball like he was mad. Like that was a angry young man. So I'm sure he was like just like, oh, I'm gonna show you what I can. I'm gonna get that extra yard and boop, ball
comes
out.
He's had problems with ball retention though.
Yes,
since his whole career.
I know. But yeah, so Giovanni Bernard would have been really, really helpful to the Bengals being there, which also adds more fuel to the fire. When Bernard got knocked out, Schaefer, right. I was forgetting how to say his name. He was shown on camera waving goodbye, bye. So that
incited the crowd.
And when Roethlisberger's getting pulled off, they start throwing water bottles, which we thought was really funny. They're throwing water bottles. Like, if this was Cleveland in the famous playoff game, was it? I think it was a playoff game against, I forget, I think it might have been Pittsburgh or somebody else. Cleveland throwing beer bottles. Beer bottles on, and just, they had to call that game.
Well, that fumble, is reminiscent of Beiner.
Right. Yeah, Ernest Beiner going into the end zone, knocked out at the one. And, for the Browns. So, and then Steelers get the ball back, and in comes Roethlisberger. Nobody knew it at the time, but he can't throw a deep ball. He was throwing some pretty good
short
passes. Yeah. They had some zip on them. I wouldn't call them dead ducks. But, and then, they get a key fourth down, and they have to move the ball up. But even before we get to that last drive, how about when they scored the touchdown to
A.J. Green?
A.J. Green scored the touchdown. And they run an awful two-point conversion play where they throw behind.
Yeah.
I mean, that was bad. I've heard people bring up, how come A.J. Green wasn't in there? He's running up and down the sidelines. How come he's not in there to at least act as a diversion? Because he just scored a touchdown. He's your main man. And you're throwing it. That was a bad. So they hurt themselves there. And then, of course, the play, which was a pass over the middle to Brown. Did not catch it. Defenseless receiver, if you want to call it. Probably. And then Vontaze Perfect again comes in.
He was headhunting?
I mean, he led with the show. He had it looked like he was trying for a soft landing, but boy, did he barrel into him. You can tell because when the slow motion of him going down and the way the body bounces, you can just tell like that looks like a crash test dummy.
Now, what about Pac-Man's comment that he should have won a Grammy Award? I mean, not an Oscar.
Well,
I mean, ignorant.
This is also a guy who later on in a posted video called Joey Porter, Johnny Porter.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So, or Jimmy Porter, whatever it was. But right. So he's not the best with names. He's not. he's a lot of things. Wrestling star, if you want to call it that.
Loose cannon.
Big time loose cannon. And so, of course, Brown knocked out. And then.
So Burford gets suspended 3 games for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he should have been the MVP of the game.
He was. And again, inciting it where after he gets the interception, he runs into the locker room saying, waving his hands like, come on, guys, this game's over. This is over. Come on, let's go. It was. Yeah. But a lot of key factors.
So this guy, when you choose up sides on the street, you want him because you don't want to go against him.
Yeah, I don't want to go against him.
I really hate him as a player. Like, just earlier in the season, watching him, like, take out a cameraman after a interception brought back to the house, I was just like, I hate you as a human.
Right.
And this game did nothing to change that.
$70,000 in fines this year. $70,000.
But he's like, this is the double-edged sword of hate. I hate him, and he's also quite good.
Yeah.
If he was terrible, it's kind of like the Cortland
Finnegan
situation.
But it really reminded me of old AFL football.
Mm. Good point.
The playoffs in general kind of picked off where they left off. They picked up where they left off because you had that nightmare with the Seahawks.
Yes. Mm. We'll get to that. Yeah.
Changing that game. Right. That's I'm talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, yeah, right. Oh, right. Yes.
So now.
The 1999 championship.
Now you get that game.
Right. So, long story short, Joey Porter shouldn't have been on the field. Adam Jones probably shouldn't. He was flagged, but they probably should have flagged Joey Porter offsetting penalties. Mm-hmm. And then instead of a 39-yard field goal, it's a 52-yard
field
goal.
But how do they think? First of all, he's not a head coach. Would they think he has good intentions coming out
there? No, he doesn't. He's a former player, and not like a former player like 20 years ago, like 3 years ago.
A madman of his own.
Yeah, he comes out, and he's, the Bengals are just standing around him, and he's just looking like, oh, come on, guys, what are you upset about? Blah, blah, blah. And then Jones is an angry man. Talking about angry young men, he's an angry older guy coming in and bumps the ref. But you can't let the refs should not be deciding a game like that. The Steelers had no timeouts.
Right.
Yeah.
They would have had to have gone, if not gone for the field goal right then and there, or at least, I mean, they would have gone and out. I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can't script this drama.
No, you can't. No. If you wrote that and brought it to a publicist or brought it to a screenwriter and said, here it is, and they're like, there's no way that can happen in both games. Mm. And so let's get to that game, which was the third coldest game in the NFL playoff history and history in general, which was Seattle at Minnesota. So cold it broke their Gjallarhorn. It's their... Like their pregame, like the Chiefs
just
have,
leave it broke.
No, and then it was hearts next.
Yeah, just like how the Chiefs have the big drum they bang, or right, you know, right, any right. old thing that you do, and so their horn, they had a backup horn that they had from the Metrodome, so they used that. So they and yeah, just it was a cold game, right. That's for sure. I mean, I can't recall.
Now, why did they run Peterson?
What instead of
how many times? I mean, what that does, it stops you from a whole lot of the other part of the playbook.
Well, I mean, they went back and because don't forget they played earlier in the season.
Right.
They lost 38-8 right. In Minnesota. But how many? What was it? Peterson only ran the ball like five times. Like so, they were like, okay, well, going into the game plan for that week, for this right. for the wild card round. All right, well, we have to give you the ball more. And they gave him the ball, and he didn't get a lot of yards. I think he had like 2 yards.
Well, average. I mean, yeah, he's 23
attempts. It seems like he's
yards.
10 yeah. yards off the line of scrimmage.
Oh, he likes a very far back because he gets a nice big running start.
Well,
he's
the
a
defense that they liked it too.
Yes, of course. But if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You know, this is what just happens. So as the Bengals collapse, the Vikings just. You can't even call it a collapse because they did everything right. They're driving.
They did?
Well, they look. Peterson fumbled the ball, which led to a Seattle game leading score. They were up 10-9, but they drove the ball down.
Right.
Give them credit. They got into the red zone. They got into the 10.
But how does the kicker and the holder ever practice together?
Of course
I mean,
they do.
Well, he has the laces there, and he makes it. You think they'd be tapping on his shoulder and say, "Hey, keep that straight."
Well, I mean, of course, and. I tell you what, there's just something, you talk about scripting it. There's Collinsworth bringing it up earlier in the game. You know, they kicked 3 field goals so far. Let's look at the field, how the kick, oh, this one had the laces out. This one had the laces in, and he got under the laces and all this stuff. So, and of course, of
you
course.
Know, you know, it's a dire game when they're analyzing the laces.
Of course it comes
well,
back.
He's going to roll a 7 eventually.
Snake eyes. So, and then here it is, the final 27 yards, closer than an extra point. And he had to push the ball.
23 yards, right.
He had to push the ball, not hook it, because that's what I'm always worried about. I think it's not being a kicker and just seeing what I see from kickers. It seems like they would rather push the ball than hook the ball.
Well, did you see his Gumby ankle, the way that thing bent each time? I'm wondering, like, what's up with that?
I don't know.
And eventually.
But, of course, the Vikings yet again. Just,
disappointing.
You know, like it was amazing, and the call was great. Oh, he missed it. I mean, that was beast
out of nowhere. Yes.
That was just like a thing. Like I'm not going to say that's on par with do you believe in miracles? But I mean, that's a pretty just something about because he was so honest. Like he missed. I remember
the childlike glee.
I
surprise.
I'm not a Vikings fan. I'm not a Seahawks fan. In fact, I was kind of hoping the Seahawks would lose. But when that happened, I jumped out of my chair. I put my hands on my head. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. I was amazed. I stood there for at least 5 minutes.
Right.
Just how could this happen? How did this happen? What? So it was just amazing. And, of course, the videos online, the reaction videos are the best one has to be the guy in the bar. He's in a bar, so you can't even say it's fake because some people are like, oh, they just recorded it and did it afterwards. Yep, yeah. And like, yeah, to play it up. So he's in a bar. He has it on selfie, and he's like, I'm not watching, and he just has everybody in the background, and then everybody at the same time, hands on the head, and his face, like he, the guy just looked into the camera, just like his eyes got wider, and he just put his hands on his head, like, oh no. So, but this, I mean, this isn't quite the 1999 NFC Championship game where Gary Anderson, who had not missed a field goal all year, missed, and it wasn't, I think it might have been like a 30 to 40
right,
something.
Right.
Like it wasn't like a 50 yarder. And it wasn't even at the end of the game. It was just in the middle. Like it was pretty, it wasn't right at the end of the game.
Right.
But because he missed it, they went into overtime. Falcons won and they went to the Super Bowl. Just unbelievable. So that was that game. And then Redskins were doing well at first. And then the Packers just started to catch them off guard. I mean,
well, the one thing I overlooked the week before is the Redskins had 3 consecutive games with 400 yards or more.
Right.
And they scored 107 and 3.
Oh, the bounce theory.
Yeah, and sure enough. So it didn't take effect immediately.
No.
So you had one team on the upswing, the other on a
big
down.
Big downswing.
And then it all turned around.
Well,
but when defense scored, that's usually a great
a safety. They got a safety on Rodgers. Well, that offensive line was weak.
But then they missed an extra point.
They missed an extra point.
That can come back.
How about they had a touchdown called back because, right. Look, I'm not going to get on DeSean Jackson. He had the ball in the right hand. He had the ball in the right arm going down the right sideline because if it gets knocked out, okay.
Yeah, but now you got four downs to score.
Exactly. Yeah. And they didn't do it.
Right.
How about just the fact that they went to running plays? No pass plays. Like even something in the – like I'm not a big fan of always in the corner of the end zone, but something –
I don't know, even like how hot Jordan Reed's been.
Yes.
Like can't dial up something to get him across.
Did you see what Green Bay did when they were at the goal line? And it looked like they had a wishbone.
Probably.
So it's kind of like the J.J. Watts and, you know, type thing.
Right.
And but they just busted through there.
But I tell you what.
I think you're going to see more of that goal line.
You're likely. But, you know, then the Packers, so they kicked a field goal instead of a touchdown, getting a touchdown. They miss an extra point later. And then the Packers keep catching the Redskins in substitutions. I tell you what, Rodgers is, like, he was watching the Redskin player run off the field. He's like, he's still on the field. Okay, good. Like, he's not off the field yet. Go, go, go.
Yeah.
So good for him. And then the second half they both traded touchdowns. And then once the Redskins got back, they couldn't get anything on offensively. And speaking of Jordan Reed, he relied too much on Jordan Reed. Like, there's good, and then there's, like, you know, I mean, like, DeSean Jackson only had a couple of catches. He should have had a lot more.
Right.
You know, I think Pierre Garçon was doing better, and this was against a pretty weak secondary.
Well, DeSean Jackson is not highly reliable.
No, he's not. But he had the opportunity. Like, he could have had a chance to redeem himself for that. It was just one of those mistakes. So.
And Rodgers got hot, and the rest is history.
And now all, for the first time ever, all four road teams win on Wild Card Weekend.
Shocking.
And, shocking. Which leads us to, the divisional round, where all the home teams are favored.
Right.
And I did my research since 2004. 2004 was the last time this happened. A road team has won at least one of these games. At least one road team has won one of these games. I think it was 2008 or 2009. I forget which one.
And who do you think has the best chance to do that? Kansas City?
There's a couple.
Yeah.
Kansas City has a chance. Has a chance. I know they just beat up on a bad team, but they have a chance. Seattle has a chance. I mean, look, they were going to lose that game, and then they got a second life. And sometimes that's all you need. And Pittsburgh.
But what you don't need to do is run into Carolina.
No, you don't need to. But
arrested.
But arrested Carolina. But also, I mean, this is a Seahawks team that might be. This is our second chance. You know, I mean, the weather played a big factor. Weather's not going to be a factor in this game unless it's going to be a deluge. So, I mean, that could be just one of those things that tips their hand the other way. And then Pittsburgh has a chance. They have a chance against Denver. I'm not going to say. The only one I don't believe has a chance is Green Bay.
Well, how could Brown play?
Well, he's still in a concussion protocol. I said chance. I didn't say they would, but they beat him once.
Maybe Pac-Man's right. He was faking it.
Maybe. Well, he's in the protocol, and that's a hard thing to get out, the league's concussion protocol. They're serious about that. And that was, again, looked like a crash test dummy. That's not good.
Right.
So, I mean, the only one I don't think will win is Green Bay. Now, is it going to be a blowout or is it going to be a close game? I don't know. It's a weaker secondary with Tyrann Mathieu out. I'm not going to say he's the key to the defense, but it's something. And look, Rodgers has a win under his belt in the playoffs.
Mm. It's something. Yeah, before he got hot, though, you see he was willing to just throw that ball away. He was not going to be sacked. He wasn't going to be taking hits. He was done with that.
And the Cardinals are going to attack the quarterback. There's no doubt about that.
I think the difference to me was in the Redskins game. He was so much, I want to say, like, jittery, frantic in the pocket. So constantly moving, constantly aware, constantly head on a swivel.
Right.
He wasn't like that when they played the Cardinals recently.
The only thing
he brings that to it,
you're right,
he might survive.
I sincerely doubt the Cardinals are going to get 9 sacks again.
No.
But the one thing that you will not have from the Arizona offense is them just faltering out like the Redskins did.
Yeah.
Palmer will find a way. David Johnson.
It's a very grindy offense.
Three legitimate high-profile wide receivers. Brown, Floyd, Fitzgerald.
They'll be caught 12 men on the field?
No.
No.
No, no way. No way. That's not going to happen. So, if look, I mean, the spreads are pretty big. New England's given 5. Arizona's giving 7. Denver's giving 7. The only one that's close, and I think everybody agrees, it's the close game is Carolina's given 2.5. So I don't know where you do you have any where you want to go this week. I
like all the favorites.
You like to cover?
Yep.
Wow.
No, I think
probably,
the only
and I probably like Denver the best.
I'm not sure about Denver. I don't know. At home, they're a different team, but
well, they're not scoring.
It's true,
right? Okay, so I mean, I'm thinking, you know, it's like those things, you know, when I look at the spread and I'm thinking it's 6.5, 7.
Right.
And I got a team that really doesn't put up points, and now you got Manning coming back.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Could be, yeah. It's most likely a good thing. Cause
and you got Pittsburgh, where you got, if Brown's out, and you've got
injured Roethlisberger.
And they can bring the rush.
Denver can bring the rush.
Even though Ware is out, they can still bring
they
it.
They can bring the rush. They have better they have a better secondary.
And I think the public, I mean, we'll see how the money goes, but if the line's 7, I think a lot of people are going to be on Big Ben. I mean, it won't be me, but...
Yeah, that is true. But, I mean, but at the same time, that Pittsburgh defense, I mean, it fell
it's
into...
horrible against the pass.
Yeah, and it fell into horrible. Its... I mean, once the Bengals decided to actually throw it, I mean, A.J. McCarron... is not Andy Dalton, but he's definitely not Peyton Manning. I don't care how old Peyton Manning is. He's still better. When he finds an opening, he will thread the needle. He'll throw the ball. AJ,
are we talking about the same Peyton Manning who's been pretty
handing
miserable
off. Handing
most
off lately.
Of the season?
True, but look at it like this. I mean, he's fresher. I mean, he has not taken as many hits. How many weeks was he out? 5?
I want to say 6.
6? That's a month and a half of not getting contact, game speed contact from opposing defenses. So that's got to help. And he had an extra week off.
I'm thinking Pittsburgh left to fight in the gym with Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So, wait, you know, I mean, that's a war.
Yeah.
That's just not a battle.
Yeah. Look, I want Denver to win. I'm done with Pittsburgh. I'm absolutely done with them. No, but seriously, like I'm not a conspiracy theorist. However, there's something to it.
To ratings.
There's something to the Steelers. Look, they got a lot of benefits in that Bengal game. A lot. And it allowed them to win the game. Now, you want to talk about how close the ownership of the Steelers is involved with the league? I'll listen.
Yeah, but they, I mean, the league didn't go down there.
I know the league didn't
lose it.
I realize that, but these refs, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'll listen. I'll listen. I'll be like, okay, I'll take that in. Okay. I'm not going to say you're right. I'm going to go, okay, I can listen.
But it's
kind of
like baseball. I mean, if you have a reputation for a good eye in a strike zone, you know, you're going to get some ball calls where other guys won't.
I'm reminded.
So, I mean, Cincinnati has proved nothing.
I'm reminded of a line from You Can't Catch Me If You Can, which is, why do the Yankees always win? Well, because they have Mickey Mantle. No, it's because they can't stop staring at their stripes, meaning that uniform, it's whatever it is, the aura and the myth and all you want to say about
it. I thought
you were
saying it was slimming.
No.
Oh,
no.
He's looking good.
No, just like, hey, it's the Steelers. Steelers are like the Cardinals of baseball. Never do anything wrong. Like, really. So you like all the home teams. Do you have any picks, Alex?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I think Carolina is probably more safe than we've otherwise been talking about. I think they'll just turn up and get the win. Maybe not by, what's the spread on them, 5?
2, Carolina's given 2.5.
Yeah, I think they'd cover that. Arizona's going to take out Green Bay quite easily. Pittsburgh, Denver's the only one that might turn a surprise. That's my thing. Unless the Kansas defense really turns up.
They might.
But with Edelman back, I think they've just got too many weapons.
Well, there's not too much film to see how to beat him.
No, because he's been out for a while.
I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's, yeah, because they're on 11. Can they make it to 12? I mean.
I don't think that offense is going to be able to keep up.
But all of these teams, if memory serves me correct, all of the teams except Kansas City were in the playoffs last year.
You know, well, like Alex Smith doesn't get enough credit.
No.
I think he, I'm pretty sure he rushed for more yards than
Cam
Russell
Newton.
Wilson.
Cam Newton, too, I think. Like he, yeah, he's a scrambling quarterback.
He's got the vision to be able to say, nothing's open, I guess I'm going for a jog.
But right. He's fast. He's got speed.
Yeah. Yes. He's
like Steve Young was.
He's also smart. Like, he's don't very take smart. The hit.
Well, I remember the Saints playoff game, the bounty gate game.
Right.
And I remember he ran for a touchdown. That was a long run, if I remember correctly.
He can move. He might be top three fastest quarterback.
I agree. And
I can't even remember what Alex Smith sounds like. Like he doesn't get the credit because he's not flashy. I think after last year, how short the passes were, how short the whole passing game was.
Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
I think I think he's this year's Joe Flacco. If that makes any sense. Alex Smith is this year's Joe Flacco, if I may. News alert coming in. This is breaking news for those who are listening after the fact, of course.
breaking news as of.
NFL approves relocation of Rams to Los Angeles. Chargers fate in limbo. So they have not yet decided which AFC team is going, but the Rams are officially going to Los Angeles. So the Los Angeles Rams are back with their stadium in Inglewood, California, probably near where the old Great Western Forum was of the Lakers of old. So that's coming over.
Does anybody care in the East?
No, not really, but it's still something. I don't know.
Calling it now. Chargers to become the London Monarchs.
Well, I just came up with an idea before we started recording. What if the... I know it's... Just hear me out. Raiders go to San Diego. The stadium is a better facility than the Oakland Coliseum, which had fecal matter coming out of the floor.
The Raiders shouldn't be moving. I mean, how many times they want to move? They can't make up their mind.
No, of course they can't. But...
Before this year, I would have said there was something fitting about having the Raiders in a pretty crappy stadium.
Yeah.
But now they're better than us.
Right.
So.
But I'm just saying, like, it's a better fit than either staying there or going with the Rams again or just going with the Chargers and two AFC teams. But that's not going to happen now. So I honestly believe that I think it might be a good idea. Good idea. Maybe the execution won't go well, but Raiders to San Diego. It's not going to happen, I know, but it's just an idea. That's what we all have, just ideas, and we just float them out to anybody who wants to listen. So that takes it with the NFL. Let's go over to the college football. The national championship happened last night. The Alabama's at Crimson Tide won again, fourth.
But how good is that sophomore quarterback for Clemson?
Deshaun Watson. I mean, everybody was talking about how I even brought up the point. Some analysts said that Alabama's got the 33rd ranked defense in the country. The first 32 are NFL
teams.
So, but look, I mean, the final score is 45-40. 40 points were scored in the fourth quarter alone.
Shocking.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And the first, I think it was basically like the first couple possessions, it was already like 7-all, 14-all.
Now, you think people are having too many, the players are having holiday meals and... So the fourth quarter, everybody ran out of gas.
I just think that they did not Clemson did not expect, after the game's tied, that Alabama, with 10 minutes left in the game, kicks an onside field goal, or kicks an onside kick, gets the ball back, scores again, and then it was just very... And then later on, they had a kick return for a touchdown to Alabama. So it was very hard for them to get back in that game. Deshaun Watson beat Alabama's defense.
Sure.
But the special teams decided it. So Saban has now won 4 titles in 7 years, and he's won titles at 2 schools.
So if you had Clemson, you had to win, and if you had Alabama, you had the title.
Yeah. It's true.
That's what Jim Gretzky texts me.
That's right, Jim, from our last episode. All right, so there you go. That's college football, and we continue on with professional football. Also, FanGraphs, which is a baseball statistical website, came out with their predictions for the 2016 team baseball season in terms of win percentage. And they have the Cubs winning about 95 games, about a 575 win percentage. which is, I think, like a couple more wins than they had this year, followed by the Red Sox and the Dodgers.
The Mets get no respect.
The Mets have, who won, how many games did they win last year? 90-something? They're at about, where are they? A 520, 525 win percentage, which is like 80, just under 90 games. So, yeah. Yankees are high. The big ones that took a tumble, though, they say, are the Astros, who had a just under, they had like a 595 win percentage, are dropped down to like 524.
Because?
I don't know.
They got young arms.
They do, but they're just not as strong. Like
they
a played
over their head.
Probably, yes. And the other one that took a big tumble was the Blue Jays, who had a 600 winning percentage. They have just above where the Mets do.
Well, of course, my question is, how did this site do last year?
Well, they had the Royals, and back-to-back seasons have 70 wins. So you take it as a grain of salt, but still, it's statistics, and that's what baseball specifically, it drives. Statistics drives baseball. It's how we decide.
And the Hall of Fame.
And the Hall of Fame. It's how we decide how we can talk about players of different eras.
Now, I heard this recently that Ken Griffey Jr. once said he'd rather be in the Hall of Fame than win a World Series.
I can believe it. I mean, most people do.
That's not exactly a team player.
No.
Mm.
Well, there were stories when he came back to the Mariners the second time around. Granted, he was encroaching on 40. But, like, he would fall asleep in the clubhouse while the game was going on. Stuff like that. Like, he brought his son in, and they just hung out in the, like, playing video games in the locker room. So there's something to that, I think. Yeah. So, again, take it for what it is, but... All right.
Is there any Super Bowl predictions at this point?
Predictions or wants? Because I'll tell you what I don't want, but I think we all know that by this point.
Does it involve a guy's name who rhymes with Om Crady?
The high ankle?
No. Go away. What I want to see, I want to see Kansas City, Carolina.
You and seven other people.
I know.
Yeah. Alex Smith. Alex
well,
Smith's wife.
Here's what's going to draw.
Alex
look,
Smith's kids.
Here's what's going to draw the, like the Super Bowl needs any extra ratings, but here's what's going to drive the ratings. Green Bay, Pittsburgh. New England.
Pittsburgh, Carolina.
Not as much. Not as much.
Arizona, New England.
No, that's going to draw, that's just going to be a wish, a hope and a prayer. Arizona, please. It's going to be like Seattle.
It'd be
last
the
year.
Two best.
Would they be the favorite now?
Who? Arizona? I think if they win this game, already a lot of people are picking them over Carolina because they have the better all around roster.
I bought my ticket September 6th for the futures, 22-1.
Hey, you know what? You might just
Good
get that.
Pay.
And
Good
that's
pay.
To win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good. I know right now the NFC is given 2.5 for the Super Bowl, like ahead of time.
You would take that?
Yeah, I'd take that.
I would have taken it last year, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're like a network executive or if you're anybody who really cares, like if you're just a casual fan, like Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, New England.
But does it matter? I mean,
Green Bay, Denver.
It's a national holiday.
It is, but I'm just saying, like.
They're going to get more viewers because.
No, I understand that.
Matchup, are you?
No, but like Pittsburgh, when it was Pittsburgh and Arizona, it was already like, Pittsburgh. I mean, they didn't even give Arizona a chance. Now, Pittsburgh won the game, yes, but it came down to an end-of-the-game touchdown. So, I mean, there's something to be said.
A 99-yard interception?
Well, that too.
That
yes. Yeah. James Harrison. Again, Kansas City's the only team in the playoffs that wasn't there last year. And...
Do you see them getting past New England, though? England?
I don't know.
I know you want it.
It's
to
not like
so
New,
bad.
But it's not like New England hasn't lost. New England, the Jets, the Ravens, twice. Yeah. Twice did they lose?
They aren't
the
same team as they have been.
Right.
I still think they're too good.
I am correct
well,
in saying.
It'd be no surprise if they came back and didn't look like they missed a lot. I mean, I know the offensive line's a problem.
Right.
But I expect that receiving core to be out there. And as far as running back, are they actually going to run Steven Jackson?
They might. Well, they'll start off with James White, see how he goes from there. But yeah, they might have to do that. So, I'm just, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for joining me this week. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.